Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about M.K. Gandhi's autobiography, The Story of My Experiments with Truth. Sophie, I have to ask, when you picked this up, were you expecting a political history or something else entirely?
Oh, completely something else. I mean, I knew Gandhi was a leader, but this book is so personal. It's not about the freedom movement at all. It's a spiritual diary. He calls his life an experiment with truth, and he's brutally honest about his failures. That's what got me.
Right, the honesty is almost uncomfortable. He starts with his childhood, and he's not a natural leader at all. He's shy, scared of the dark, a mediocre student. And he admits to stealing from his brother, lying to his parents, small moral failures. But he dissects them like a scientist.
Exactly.
He doesn't excuse any of it. And the part about his early marriage to Kasturba, he admits he was a jealous, possessive young husband. He demanded she conform to his standards, and he calls that cruelty. It's so raw.
Yeah, that part stopped me. He's not trying to make himself look good. He's showing how every small compromise with truth created a debt he'd spend a lifetime repaying. And then he goes to London to study law, and it's this crisis of identity. He buys a top hat, takes dancing lessons, tries to become an English gentleman.
Right? He's trying to erase himself. But the turning point is a vegetarian restaurant and a book by Henry Salt that connects him to his mother's vows and to the principle of nonviolence. It's his first philosophical awakening. He starts reading the Gita and the Sermon on the Mount, and that shapes everything.
And then South Africa. That's where he really gets forged. He gets thrown off a train at Pietermaritzburg for sitting in a first-class compartment. He gets beaten for walking in a whites-only area. These aren't abstract injustices. They're personal humiliations.
And his response is satyagraha, truth force. It's not passive acceptance. It's active nonviolent resistance. You refuse to cooperate with injustice. You accept the consequences without hatred, and you trust that your truth will soften the oppressor's heart. He organizes the Indian community, goes to jail, and prison becomes his university.
I love that phrase, prison as university. He starts simplifying his life in there, gives up Western clothes, learns to wash his own things, takes a vow of celibacy to conserve spiritual energy. Every act of renunciation is an act of power for him.
But here's what I found really striking. He's also honest about his failures as a father and husband. He admits his devotion to public service often came at the expense of his family. He was rigid and tyrannical with his son's education, trying to make them perfect and forgetting their humanity. He presents that as an experiment that didn't fully succeed.
That vulnerability is what makes the book so compelling. He's not a flawless statue. He's a man wrestling with contradictions. And when he returns to India in 1915, he doesn't jump into politics. He spends a year just traveling and listening. Then he takes on local struggles, the farmers in Champaran, the mill workers in Ahmedabad. His method is always the same. Investigate the facts, refuse to compromise on truth, and be willing to suffer.
He saw those as moral crusades, not political movements. He believed politics divorced from morality corrupts everyone. And the book culminates with the Jallianwala Bagh massacre, where his response is non-cooperation, boycotting British institutions, spinning his own cloth. The spinning wheel becomes a symbol of self-reliance.
And the book stops in 1921, before the Salt March. It's intentionally unfinished. He's not writing a history of events. He's writing a history of his inner life. He ends by saying he has no final conclusions, that he's still learning and failing. It's an invitation to begin your own experiment.
That's the takeaway for me. It's not a set of political strategies, it's a way of being. Small, consistent actions. He changed the world by spinning yarn every day, by walking everywhere, by telling the truth in a world of lies. It's humbling because it forces you to look at your own compromises.
Yeah, I keep thinking about that line. The most powerful force is a disciplined human soul. It sounds grand, but he shows it through the smallest details. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library of over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles is on the 7-Minute Books app. You can read or listen in any language for $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
And that's the thing. Gandhi's life is an unfinished experiment, and he invites us to keep trying. We'll see you in the next one.